going to turn to the book of James, to James and chapter 4. There's one verse that I have on my heart to speak on this evening, with the help of God, a verse of great challenge, and it's found in James and chapter 4. It's down in verse 14. And there it says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." And we know that God would please to bless the reading of his most precious word this evening. Now we have sought to see over this last week and a half questions that are found recorded for us in the Word of God. And through these questions we have sought to see the truth of God's Word. We said at the commencement, you can almost place the title, "What is Truth?" Amidst a world of uncertainty, we want this evening to point you to something that is true, to someone who can be relied upon, for someone who indeed is the very embodiment of truth. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Amidst a world of uncertainty, we want to point you to something which is certain, which is true, the Lord Jesus Christ and the way of salvation. We have sought to see over these evenings something really of man's ruin, of man's great problem, of how sin came in through that man Adam there in the beginning. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, that all have sinned." We saw how sin came in, bringing with it a separation from God. Sin, we thought, is that which will keep us out of heaven, the dwelling place of God, because God is holy. And we sought to see how, because God is righteous, he must punish sin. And a lost eternity, a place the Bible would call hell and the lake of fire. We saw then how sin is serious, how sin is our greatest problem. Yet we have sought to see from various questions in the Word of God that God in his mercy and God in his great love has sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Born of that Virgin Mary, there into the outside place, the one who came to give his life a ransom for all, there on the cross of Calvary, in 3 hours of darkness, which God laid upon his Son the sins of the whole world. The Lord Jesus Christ was saved and finished. Rose again on the third day, now seated at the right hand of God. My friend, in the meeting this evening, we want to tell you, there is a provision. There is a great provision for the great problem of our sin. And we point you to the Lord Jesus Christ and his work that he accomplished there on the cross of Calvary. One sacrifice for sins forever. Never needs to be repeated, you know. It's done. And yet, over these last few evenings, we have wanted to really emphasize, with the help of God, something of man's responsibility. Man's responsibility. We have seen from questions the way of salvation, and how it is through repentance from God and placing faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We sought to see, it's based on the response. And we looked at the challenge. What is there a point in your life that you can point to? And not after a time or a date, but is there a point, an experience you had, when you realize the seriousness of your sin, realize that your sin will keep you out of heaven, and repented towards God, and placed faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can say, that's the point. And that's the point when I was saved. When I was born again, born of God, made a new creature in Christ. All things are passed away, all things are become new. That life that I once lived, I'm dead to it. Now I have new life with Christ, and new aspirations, and new destination, knowing heaven as my home, knowing peace with God. Do you have that? Do you have that point at you? Yesterday we looked at a challenging question. A question that is raised to Pharaoh. The question comes from God through this man Moses. How long? How long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? You know, here is a man, this man Pharaoh. And he's seen the power of God. And yet, what we learn as we read through Scripture is that each time he heard, he refused to let God's people go. And you know what we read is this, is that he hardened his heart. That is, He stubbornly refused. And you know what? What we read is that ultimately God hardened his heart. Now yesterday we thought, and I sought to challenge you, how many times, by the grace of God, have you sat under the sound of his word? Heard your need of a Savior. Heard of the seriousness of your sin. Heard that there is a way of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you realize, and you know you're a sinner. You know there's a Savior. And yet, you do nothing with it. Neglect it. Made light of it. And remain in your sin. Says God, how long would thou refuse? You know, my friend in the meeting this evening, I want to warn you, don't mock the long-suffering nature of God. The Bible would teach that God is merciful, that God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we praise God for that this evening. For there is coming a day when the opportunity will be over. The door will be closed. Scripture would talk about that, you know. The Lord Jesus Christ will say, the day coming when the opportunity will have passed. Well, let's look then for a few moments in the time that remains at our question this evening. We want to really continue with the help of God, the thoughts of yesterday evening, and emphasize the urgency of this matter of salvation. Writes James, there in James chapter 4 and verse 14, for what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. Now here we have the brevity of life brought before us. Just how short it is. how insignificant it is in light of an eternity. It's short. It's brief. That's what we sung. And that's the reason for why we sang it. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf. It's brief. It's short. The emphasis is this, my friend, in the intimacy. The opportunity is now. That's what one of these verses says, up somewhere around the text. I believe it's that one. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So we want them, with the help of God, to briefly consider this question under three headings. We want to ask, I'm going to ask two questions and make one statement. Firstly, we want to see and ask the question, for what is your life following? Secondly, what is your life's foundation? And thirdly, the statement is this, for what is your life? It's fleeting. It's fleeting. So the following, foundation, and the fact that life is fleeting. You know, I'm very conscious of the fact that we live in a world which is ever moving, ever busy, and no one ever seems to slow down, and no one ever seems to stop. You know, when I used to go to university, I used to walk through town. You know, people are just on a mission. They're just marching through town. They've got somewhere to go. They've got somewhere to be, someone to meet, another meeting, another engagement with this person or that person. And they're always doing. They're always moving. Never stop. You know, we live in a world that is just pushing and pushing and pushing the boundaries of the working day. Long gone is a 9-to-5 job. Now it's a 7-to-7, and it's even stretching out further than that. And it's gone as the 5-day working week. Now it's a 6-day working week and a 7-day working week. And it never seems to stop. This is the world in which we live. It's so fast-paced. And people are so caught up with the present. And the here and the now and this life. You know, when I was at university, you know, I didn't really care too much about my university. I just sort of think it was a good opportunity for a little afternoon nap. But nevertheless, one of the things that used to stress into us is the need to plan. The need to plan. You know, I barely started. I was only 17, 18, and they said, you've got to start saving for your pension. And then the next minute is, well, where do you see yourself in 5 years down the line? Well, I thought to myself, well, the Lord might have come before then. I might be heaven. I might be in heaven, at home, with the Lord Jesus by them. But you know, here they are, and they're so caught up with planning. Everything's so meticulously planned out nowadays. Oh, I know those are my colleagues. And they were like, well, let's not be too ambitious. 5 years down the line, I just see myself as a chartered accountant. PwC will do something like that. And they'll be like, well, how are you going to get there? And they'll be like, well, first I'm going to start by building up my network. I'm going to join this LinkedIn. And I'm going to go to all these events, and I'm going to meet people, and build up my network. And I'll say, well, what are you going to do next? And then we'll say, well, then I might think about signing up to some professional exams. I'm going to start with my ACCA and pass my first exam and pass my second. And I said, what are you going to do then? You'll say, well, I'll then look for a job and see if I can find something. Maybe not PwC the first time. Maybe look for a smaller fish. And then I'm going to work my way up. And for too long, I'll be a junior accountant. And this is what it's like. It's mad. This is the world in which we live. So caught up with the here and the now and the present. And everyone's preparing. Preparing for what they're going to do next. Preparing for this life. And yet, how tragic it is that in the scene of all this confusion, all this hustle, and all this bustle, and people forget the words of Amos in chapter 4 and verse 12. Prepare to meet thy God. People are so caught up with everything in this life that they neglect to think about where their soul will spend an eternity. where their soul will spend an eternity. My friend, what is your life's following? What are you following? What is taking up your time and your efforts and your concentration? You know, last Thursday, my uncle Andrew, he mentioned in passing the parable that the Lord Jesus Christ would tell. There in Luke's Gospel in chapter 12. And there is a man, and he's caught up with the things of this world. There is a man, and he's had a good harvest. And he's thinking what to do next. And so he thinks to himself, I'll pull down my barns, and I'll build greater, and I'll eat, drink, and be merry. Thought he had it all planned out. Yet God says, this night shall my soul be required of thee. What is your life? It is even as I lay down. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, says the Proverbs, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. What are you following? The things of this world, caught up, consumed with it, and it's distracting you. You know, this is what the devil is trying to do. This is his tactic. Now that is what we thought on a previous night. He wants to keep you in his grasp. He wants to keep you, and he wants to take you with him down to where he is, in hell, and the lake of fire, a place that is prepared for the devil and his angels. He wants you to be there too. And he's keeping you distracted. Keeping you distracted from what really matters. Where your soul will spend an eternity. Says the scriptures, prepare to meet thy God. You know, the Bible would make it very clear, very plain, that you'll ever meet God as a righteous judge there at this great white throne, when the dead, that is those who have not believed on his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, stand before him and are judged according to their works. And the bottom line is this, that whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast. Place where there is wailing and national tribute. We either meet God then as our righteous judge, the Lord Jesus Christ himself as he sits there, why is he coming to judge? Look forward to that coming day. Based on the point in your life when you turn from sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to anticipate and to look forward to a coming day when you'll see him and be like him. A place as we thought yesterday, there where there is no more death, neither sorrow, and there's no more night, and it's just it's the contrast. Pack to me, my God. So, what is your life's following? Secondly, what is your life's foundation? Now I take you back to what we thought a couple of nights ago. There in Luke's Gospel in chapter 6. And the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking concerning those that have heard the word of God. And he likens people and their responses to one of two things. Those that hear and do. There he likens those who have dig deep the foundations. And resting on a rock. All those that have heard and don't do it, and they're just really on nothing. Honest earth. Sinking sand. You know, this evening, as we do every night, we point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a rock. A rock. You know, I was reading through the references that you have to the rock. Through the Psalms. And many of them, you know, are Psalms of David. And I wonder if this could be your experience, your reality, to say with the psalmist David, the Lord is my rock, and my fortress, and my deliverer, My God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Is it your experience to say with David in Psalm 40 verse 2, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. Is it your experience to say with David in Psalm 62 verse 2, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Oh, says the psalmist in Psalm 95 verse 1, come let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Now here's the only point to this evening. The Lord Jesus Christ is a rock. Based on his work that he accomplished there on the cross of Calvary, he completed the work in full. He could say, it is finished. God chose his satisfaction and that he raised him from the dead on the third day. And the Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And I want to tell you this this evening. I'm lying to tell you. But there is assurance to be found in him. There is security to be found in him. To have your feet on a rock. Now the Lord Jesus Christ would say that for those that realize their sin and its seriousness and repent from it and call on the name of the Lord for salvation, then he says that they are safe. That's what you read there in John's Gospel in chapter 10. Safe in his hands. And his hands are safe in the Father's. I and my Father are one. Absolute assurance. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You know, there's full and absolute assurance that can be found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you come as a sinner, realizing your helplessness, and by faith, believing on him, the Lord Jesus Christ, is a rock. A firm foundation. So what is your life's folly? Are you caught up, going with the flow, caught up in the hustle and bustle, and yet have no room or no time, and neglect this great matter of salvation? What's your following? What's your foundation? Resting on your own efforts, for they will fall far short. Resting in religion, that will never save. Or you're resting in Christ. Our foundation. What is your life following? Foundation. Finally, in closing, I make this statement. What is your life? Now here's the idea of what James is trying to convey. What is your life? It is even as a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. He's using an illustration. You know, I thought earlier, I'm not much of a scientist, but I thought, you know, when you boil a kettle and the water boils, reaches at 100 degrees centigrade, and the steam is produced, you know, I thought that sometimes the steam lingers a little while. And sometimes the steam disappears very quickly. But you know, the truth is always the same, it's not that very long. But there is varying degrees. It's not certain. It could be based on the humidity, I don't know. I'm not very intelligent. But the thing is, the steam is produced. And it's there. Sometimes it's a bit more steam, stays a little bit longer. Other times it goes very quick. But ultimately it's not that long. You say, Mr. Speaker, what are you rambling on about? Well, point is this. Some people might live later on into their years, into their 60s and 70s and 80s. A slightly longer life, perhaps. Other people's lives are quite short. Some people tragically die in their teens or in their 20s or even younger. Many tragic cases. Some people, life is very brief. Some people, it's a little bit longer. But I want to make this point. that in comparison to an eternity, your life is very brief, very short. So what are you going to do? Live life to the full, you say? Going in for all its measures? What did we think last week? For what should it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or will you, my friend, choose Christ today? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Knowing sins forgiven, knowing peace with God, knowing that you're safe, resting on a firm foundation, on your way to heaven, as you are. May God bless you.